Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, welcome to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. I hope you've been following along as we've been going through a close look at the Gospel of Matthew. We're zeroing in on the words of the Lord because they are the most neglected words in the Bible, and the Gospels are the most neglected books of the Bible because so many things that Jesus says are contrary to the things that we want to believe. So it's very, very profitable to us to pull out the book and to read through it often so that our feet are on the straight, narrow road that leads to life so that we have not been misled by our own heart or by watered down versions of Christianity that make it a wide way instead of a narrow way. We're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 right now, which says, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in your sight. What is Jesus rejoicing about here? I love these words. It's one of the few places that records Jesus rejoicing. And why is he rejoicing? He's rejoicing that God has hidden the truth from the wise and revealed it to ordinary people. He loves to reveal the truth to those who haven't been to university or obtained degrees. Rather, he blesses those who are humble. Jesus was rejoicing that God was revealing the truth to those who were scorned and rejected by the world. And this is a wonderful window into the heart of our God and shows us clearly how the simplicity of the gospel confounds the scholars. The gospel, as we know, was given to fishermen and tax gatherers and those who are not trained in academics, so that the gospel can be understood by those who are regular, ordinary people. It was not meant to be understood only by great scholars. In fact, the Lord made it that way intentionally so that he'd bring to confusion those who are highly trained and think highly of their intellect, and he has revealed it instead to regular people. Anyone can understand the gospel. That is, anyone who reads it. And so we want to be among those who read the gospel and are changed by it. Hallelujah. Right after this, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. Aren't these words refreshing to the soul? Don't they revive our weary souls? Doesn't it give us hope? And who is Jesus addressing here when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden? The question is, who are the weary ones and what are they weary of? To answer that, we must remember that Jesus is instructing that he has come to bring a peace that is not like the world. The peace that the world gives, or more accurately withholds, is a peace that comes from seeking everything that the world has to offer in order to try to become happy. And we all do this all day, every day. We who are Christians, we who are not Christians, we are all seeking for a peace or a happiness that is of the world. For those who are in the middle class, they must have financial security. They must have money in the bank, investments and insurance. The family must be doing well. Everything must be in order with the house, the cars, and of course, we must have all the desires of the heart. If you're not in the middle class, you seek peace from your friends. You seek your joy and your happiness from your parties and your drugs. Now, the problem with the peace of the world is that it is a very fragile peace. By that I mean, only one little piece of our world has to be out of place in order to ruin everything. All that has to happen is to have someone say something mean to us and our world crashes. So we can have everything in place. Things can be going along quite well. We can have obtained some new thing that we really like. But then somebody says something critical to us and all of the joy just evaporates. And if there's even one thing wrong in the extensive list of requirements that we need to be happy, then our peace is shattered. So the peace of the world is very elusive. One area might be getting in order, but then another area crashes. You might obtain your beautiful house that you have striven for so long. You might even succeed in amassing a small amount of wealth. But then your son goes to jail, or he's on drugs, or he gets kicked out of school. And so your peace is destroyed. Where's your beautiful house now? Where is the peace that you've stored up in the bank? How fragile our peace is. Or maybe you've climbed up the ladder of success and you have a good job, but you get there and you get to that next level that you've been desiring so much, and someone starts criticizing you, spreading bad things about you, or saying bad things to the boss about you. And suddenly, you're full of insecurity about the future. Suddenly, that new promotion means very little, and you have absolutely no peace from that new job. And this happens to very, very many people. And suddenly, their world is unmade. So that's what I mean when I say the peace of the world is a very fragile peace. We're all running around trying to do all the things that will make us happy, and we can never achieve happiness. We just can't do it because something always goes wrong and it shatters that fragile peace. And so the outcome of all of our striving is that no one has any peace. If we try to have peace from the world, we can't have it. It's not there. So what happens then? Well, we work harder. We strive more to get everything in order. We strive to have more material things. We try to have more success. We try to have more recognition so that we can have peace of mind. We strive harder and harder, and the harder we strive, the more elusive it becomes. And this is when we become weary and heavy laden. And we see this all the time. We live in the most beautiful place and one of the most beautiful islands in the world. And so we have many people who come on vacation to Prince Edward Island. And when they come to our lovely little island, they sure look great with their SUVs and everything in order, but they are worn out. They are weary. They have no satisfaction. There is no joy. They come here for peace, but they're frazzled and burned out and empty and desolate from a frantic lifestyle of trying to get ahead. So they tried to find peace in the beautiful countryside of Prince Edward Island. And though it is truly a beautiful place here, there is no peace in countryside. The frazzled vacationers bring their frazzled thoughts into the countryside, and the peace is destroyed. And they rush around from this place to that place, trying to find something to satisfy their souls, but they can't find it. It can only be found in the person of Jesus. And so Jesus walks into this madhouse of striving. He stands up in our midst, in the midst of all of our frantic rushing, and he says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Jesus offers to give us peace. He is the source of that peace. And he says he will give us rest. Now, what is the rest? What is the rest that Jesus is offering to us? What does it look like? Well, first and foremost, it is a rest from all the striving after the wind, all the striving after happiness that is elusive. It's a rest from the frantic attempts to make ourselves happy in the world. As we go to Jesus, as we accept his offer, and we come unto him because we are weary, he gives us a peace that is not of the world. When we get close to God through true worship from the heart, through open, honest, humble repentance, when we are reconciled to God through Jesus, we just throw ourselves at his feet and we say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for striving for happiness apart from you. Forgive me for trying to satisfy all of my worldly appetites. Lord, I want you, and I come to you that I might have peace from above." And when we humble ourselves like that, we actually obtain something we have never felt in the world. And that is a supernatural peace will come upon us that comes from his presence. The presence of God is the fountain of peace. He is the source of peace. And as we get close to him, the peace of God begins to permeate our being, and our mind and our thoughts start to get stilled because we're drinking from the fountain of life. We are actually in the presence of the one who is peace. So we seek God who is peace, and we find God and we find peace. There's nothing in the world like the peace that comes from God's presence. It is an awesome, supernatural peace. That means it's above nature. It's not based on anything of the world or on any circumstances. It is a peace that comes from being close to Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're living on the street. Doesn't matter if your son has been arrested. Jesus calls us to run into that secret place of the Most High, into the presence of God, into his presence, and our shattered peace is reconstructed. And he begins to assure us that all things will work for the good as we trust him. This is the rest that Jesus will give to us who are frantic. Next, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." We are to learn from him. And what does he teach us? Well, he teaches us in his word that we shouldn't bother to seek the things of the world, because even if you got them, they would never make you happy. You see, this is why the Gospels are not that popular today, because Jesus says things like this all the time. He says, for life does not consist in these things, even if you have abundance of the things of the world. And so it runs contrary to our new gospel of self, which is all about obtaining the things of the world and having the love of the world and trying to have the love of God as well. So the Gospels don't fit very well with our new teaching. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He gives us a whole new world view. Without Jesus, we seek all the things of the world and grow weary and frazzled. When we meet Jesus, he teaches us to seek him. He not only promises to give us that peace that passes understanding, that peace that is so elusive to us, he also promises to care for us and to care for all the different needs that we have. We're so stressed out about the things that might happen to us, or we're stressed because of this or that unexpected disaster that has happened to us. But he says that he will take care of everything that concerns us because he truly loves us. He not only is very aware of our physical needs, but also of our particular desires and abilities that we want to use for him. As we strive to seek after him first with all of our heart, he actually takes care of all of those different things, even our desires. God's ways are the ways of peace. It is not in striving, but in surrendering. The world strives, Christians surrender. We surrender to doing it God's way. If we strive for the peace of the world, we will never find even a moment of peace. When we seek the pleasures of the world, the happiness gets less and less until it finally disappears altogether. And that's when life becomes totally empty and devoid of meaning. That is where most of society is today, burnt out, weary, and dissatisfied. But the joy and peace that Jesus gives is the real thing. He gives us real peace, real joy, real satisfaction, real fulfillment. It is found in God. Next, he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. God is not scary or intimidating, nor is he condemning to those who turn to him. He said he didn't come into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. He is compassionate. He's approachable. This is for everyone. Everyone who is striving. Everyone who is striving for happiness in the world. It is for anyone who is seeking peace through some relationship. Most people turn from God to seek a person to fulfill their lives. And everything is well until we find out what that other person is really like, or when they walk out because they found someone new. But for those who surrender to Christ, they have a supernatural peace. The peace is real, and it can be found by any who would seek him. If the millionaire businessman would get on his knees and say, Jesus, please come to me, I need your peace, Jesus will come. If those who are addicted would simply and humbly cry out to Jesus and say, please show me the way, please give me your peace, Jesus will come. And he says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And what does that mean? What does he mean by that? He says elsewhere that it's hard to follow him. So what does he mean? He means that he gives us, again, that supernatural peace to get through those various trying circumstances that are sure to come upon us all. It means that he doesn't have a dry walk for us, a simple list of do's and don'ts. He means, come to me and I will love you and I will give you my peace. Jesus is next to us in the yoke and he's pulling with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we want to come to you and we want to surrender today. Lord, all of us are guilty of striving after the things of the world. And Lord, we have become such worldlings. We have become lovers of the world, striving after the things of the world, desiring the peace of the world. And Lord, we know the words of this lesson are true and that the peace of the world is very elusive. So Lord, we come to you right now and we surrender and say, Lord, forgive me for seeking peace that is in the world, seeking for peace that is not in you. Please forgive me and help me to seek after the one who is peace. In fact, I confess my sins right now that I might be totally reconciled with you, that I might obtain the peace that comes from the presence of God. Lord, make me a new creature that seeks after the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you for coming to me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for granting me a peace that passes understanding. And Lord, I pray for each one who is listening today, Lord, that you would bring them into a whole new world where joy is found in the presence of God and not in the things of the world. Please bring revival to all of our hearts. May revival spring up in our land, and may the joy of the Lord be on the faces of many. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel. It is undiminished. It is able to change lives. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
Jesus to the rescue, your burdens he will